Hey guys, I'm coming at you a little early, and I'm super excited for you to hear the show. So let's rock and roll. It's Smartless.
Smart.
I did sweat, then I showered.
You sweat and then you showered.
So your hair is a mix of sweat and
no,
wet.
No. I showered all the sweat out. I have just shampooed hair that you're enjoying.
Can I now tell Will my next story or no?
I want to get into your next story, but hang on a second, Jason. so many questions. Do you shampoo every day?
I don't. Actually, I just lied to you. I did not shampoo today.
Wow. That's all sweat.
I will not shampoo but once a week because, most smart, well-groomed listeners will attest to, you will get fluffy, flyaway hair if you shampoo every day.
Opposite is oily, gross.
Right. And that gives you a handsome clumping. Okay, it's the name of my new autobiography. Autobiography.
Sean, do you
handsome clumping? Not to be confused with handsome humping. Sean's three part
series.
Three parts. How often do you shamp?
I shamp every other day.
Really?
Every other
day. And you condition too? Oh wait, I can answer that.
Never, ever.
Oh,
never.
How come you don't use any hair product?
Me?
Yes, you. With the flyaway, uncontrollable, 1983 feathered.
Match my personality. Just fly away.
Why don't you put like a little bit of mousse? The old mousse.
No, when I see you guys on Sunday, a lot of times I'll throw some poopy stuff in there.
I don't see it. You need more.
Why didn't you try Jen stuff that Jason did the commercial for?
I did.
Lola V. You're talking about Lola V?
That commercial where you had all that food stuff in your mouth that Amanda shot.
It was not intended to be a commercial. Unlike Sean's, Sean tried to come over the top with his and he succeeded. Enjoyed that yet, Will?
No. Did he do one for her too?
Did you not see Sean's shower masterpiece?
No. For Jen's products?
Yeah. And Scotty shot it and cut it together. And
in 2 seconds.
It's probably online somewhere.
No,
right
I don't
now.
Think it
don't,
anywhere.
Sean, don't pull it up. Please don't pull it up.
Why not?
You probably have a respectable guest that is doubting or questioning their decision at this point.
Why don't you just air it on the TV behind you? You know, so that, because you've already seen it.
Where is it?
Who knows, you know? I mean, I guess we'll find it one day. Sean.
Shoot, I'm looking for it.
Obviously.
All right, so.
Sean, what have you done with your break? Listener, we did an earlier record, and now we're doing a later record, and it's been a lunch window here in Los Angeles. No, don't tell. We'll tell you what you ate.
I ate three donuts.
Did you really?
And a glass of milk. And that's what I had for lunch. I didn't eat anything.
Specialty donuts or just whatever the fuck happens to be on the plate?
Yum Yums from Yum Yums. Hello?
Don't say from Yum Yums as if we're supposed to know that.
Yeah, Yum Yums.
You're talking about the spot up the street on the corner of Vine and Melrose
How do you know that?
Wow.
I went in my pajamas. I was still in my pajamas and slippers. I walked right in there.
Sean, why do you eat donuts? Especially for lunch.
For lunch.
So good. I was really hungry because I didn't have a big breakfast. And so I was like, you know when you crave carbs?
But you did have breakfast.
No, I had like a cup of tea and like a muffin.
Okay, so just keeping score today.
You had a muffin and three donuts.
Does your colon ever jump up through your esophagus, out your mouth, and just square up, look you in the eye, and say, what is your fucking problem? What are you doing to me?
No, it climbs up, comes out of my mouth, looks me in the eye, and says, thank you.
Do you just roll into Chin Chin now, and you go down table level with your mouth at the end of the table, and they just shovel food into it? You must be busy this time of year with all the Santa work you're doing, right?
How many callbacks did you have for the Grove this year?
By the way, we can say, because it's on the air obviously already, that you know the Sean playing Santa in the Murderville holiday special was tremendous.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You yeah. did super go quiet for that.
Sean was so happy because he was like, I don't have to memorize any lines.
Lines. I can just sit there. It's just so great. Dead. It was yeah. Really funny, actually.
I am hearing some folks are enjoying that trailer, that teaser, Will.
Well, we got a new trailer. Well, the show's, you know.
It's already aired.
As you know, it's already out.
Yes, now with the airing of this podcast.
Right.
But I tell you what, it's going to be timeless, just like our guest today.
Yeah, speaking of your guest, I have something caught in my teeth, and I have floss with me, and I'm wondering if this
they
is
won't
a guest
mind. Oh,
that I have
they,
to work. So go ahead and
no,
floss.
Also, go ahead and floss.
Can I floss during the intro?
Because also, when like, you I see, because they're going to give you shit for it.
They will?
Go ahead. Sean, yeah, go ahead, Sean. What were you saying?
No, I was going to say, I have to tell you my neck.
You've been talking about the neck story across two episodes.
I know,
better be good. Go.
Okay, Sean,
it's too
the
long.
Neck. Let's go.
And I'm going to floss during it.
No, it's too long. I'll tell it.
Well, maybe our guest wants to hear it, you know?
Okay.
Because this person likes stories. They like telling stories.
Okay. Ew, Jason.
I'm going to let you listen to the floss.
No, but the camera's on your crotch.
I love that we're not watching and then we're just listening. God, this is like a nightmare.
This is just what I do when I floss.
That is so disgusting.
Our guest is somebody. This
gyrating.
Is what an intro. Is. Our guest is somebody who is not your run of the mill. This is somebody who does a lot of different things. Somebody that we all know. Some of us better than others. We've been friends with for a long time. This person gets to do all sorts of different stuff. They're not just stuck in an office. Although there was a time when he was stuck in an office for many years on TV.
Like
I can't say too much because
Krasinski.
You know who it's going to
be
because it's Krasinski.
Yes!
Yes!
Yay!
Yes!
Oh,
and finally.
You're in the bedroom.
Oh,
you're in your own bedroom.
This is my own. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
check
gone.
The frame.
That's gone.
John, what? Let's get into it here. Whose fault is this?
By the way, when we had...
I'm just happy to be here before the bicentennial. You know what I mean? Just before the 200th guest. You
it's
know?
Outrageous that Emily was here before you, Will.
Well, they were supposed to be back-to-back days, and it got moved a few times because of schedule of everybody, of a bunch of you, because John one time, and you, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to be... So literally when Emily was on, and we were like, we got to get John on, and I'm just like, oh, just keep a straight face, because he was supposed to be on the next day.
Oh, what happened?
Well, I was holding the boom for her, so I heard the whole thing.
Yeah. So he was there the entire time.
Were you really there when we were interviewing?
Yeah, I was just...
And he had a bounce, card, too. He Hollywooded a bounce card.
Wow.
He was just Hollywooding.
Booms in.
Oh,
booms in.
Hollywood myself.
John.
Hollywood.
All right. Listener,
Hi,
I apologize up top, listener, for you.
Oh,
you're going to have to
God,
listen to us
this.
Just do a bunch of catching up now.
It's going to be a lot of memory lane.
All right.
Of memory lane.
So you are talking to us from a beautifully appointed room.
Children's room.
Children's
beautifully
room.
Wallpapered, listener, I'll have you know. Is that a children's room or is it a guest room?
It's a child's room. Which child? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I was taking a walk and just ducked into the first house I could find.
Wow.
And they were all set up for the podcast.
Good for them
yeah,
that they had
amazing.
The microphone and everything.
Now, John, how many kids now? Six?
Two kids.
Seven.
Two
just
kids.
Still the two.
Two.
Yep, the two.
Oh, sorry. With I mean in total, not just with Emily.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant just with Emily. Six. Yeah, it's six.
Yeah. Good for you.
Six. Wait, Johnny, so tell us, how old are the girls now?
Eight and six.
Eight and six. God. Eight
how are
six.
You, by the way?
I'm great, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good. It's good to see you.
It's so nice to see you.
Jason, when you hear him talk about his two daughters, eight and six, are you like, you look back fondly on not remembering your daughters when they were that age?
Do I have daughters?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I think I met your daughters when they were around eight and six.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, they're now 16 and 11. Will
no,
be 11.
They got it. They were older. They were older. They were, I mean, younger. They were younger. When you
were they? Yeah, they were.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, yeah. For sure, for sure.
So you're back east. You live east.
Yeah. No, right now I am down under. I'm talking to you from the future. I'm in Australia because Emily's shooting in Australia.
Oh, that's sure, so, Fall Guy. Fall Guy. Oh,
yeah, Fall Guy. So if you guys want to know how yesterday went, it went great. So you're
really
you're in for
how were the hot costs yesterday? Did they go over under? What the That guy Leach, right? Leach. He's that guy knows how to direct a movie. Man, Bullet Train.
He sure does, right?
I love
Dave
that.
Leach. I love Dave Leach. God. He's a great guy.
That's I love amazing. Bullet That's Train. That was real fun.
Real good.
Fun. Wait, are you there? Are you there involved in the same movie or just support?
No, I keep going every day, but they keep saying no, not today. Thanks anyway, though. Thank you.
You just keep getting in background line for wardrobe?
Just like on the waterfront style, just at the gate, you know, just waiting.
But did you just finish the movie, though, right? Did you just finish
I did. I just wrapped this movie that I wrote and directed called If with Ryan Reynolds and a unbelievable actress named Kaylee Fleming, who is really the lead of the movie. She's incredible. Wow.
That's
no more incredible actress than Ryan Reynolds, though.
He's good times. He was speaking highly of all you guys.
I love him.
I've listened to every single one of your shows.
No.
That's not true.
I have.
No.
Every single one. You know why? Because it feels like we're all hanging out again. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, so I was texting with John, and I was texting with John last night, his 2 weeks ago, or 2 weeks in the future. I don't know.
Fortnite.
I forget how it works, but he, it was at least a fortnight in the future. He says to me, mate, he says, I'm really excited to do because he really gets right in there. He says, I'm looking forward to it because it's going to feel like hanging out again. And I was like, oh yeah, it's been a fucking minute since we.
Well, you're on fire.
He's been busy crushing it as a director.
Yes. I know.
Congratulations on that, Johnny.
Thank you so much, my guys. God. You and I have had some conversations since. I've been absolutely stunned by all your stuff, Jay. Nice. The Ozark was so great.
Tell us what is If? Is If in the same genre as Quiet Place?
It's not. I took a whole left turn there. And
is it comedic?
It's not. It's it is. It is comedic. It's basically it's my movie that I wrote for my kids. So it's about imaginary friends and the power of
I love that.
These adorable things aren't just adorable. They're time capsules for all our hopes, dreams, and ambitions. So
I like
what
that.
If we could tap back into that? What if back into it?
I smell tears. There's probably a nice moment in there. Ryan can get you to cry. So can you.
Boy, Ryan can do it real well.
Well, one of the things I love about Kraz, and I always have,
take it down, make it,
is that he's an emotional guy. He wears his heart on his sleeve. I don't know if I know anybody
cried everything.
More emotional and who's so open about it. And it's a real superpower.
He's got his Kleenex
ready, and he has like. I can't tell you how many times over the years Kraz has like grabbed my arm or my shoulder and been like, "Can you fucking believe this dinner we had," or whatever it is, and then he'll be well.
It makes me sound like a psychopath.
No, it's like I need help.
That steak
not at
was
all.
Incredible.
I love it because it's because you get so passionate about stuff, and you really and it goes to everything. You're passionate about the people you love. You're passionate about your wife, your kids, your work, all of it. You don't do anything. Oh. There are zero half measures. I don't think I've ever seen you do anything in a half measure, including playing a video game.
Oh my God! You remember that? Oh,
do you guys not play Call of Duty anymore with your headsets? And
before we got into Call of Duty, we headed over to Tweeter or HMV or something, and bought three systems, three cheap TVs, and set them up in the same room, like Minority Report.
Me and Kraz and Thoreau, and we did
at
the hotel. We did a 3-day weekend in LA playing
Halo.
These video games.
You went on a bender.
Usually there's crystal meth involved in something like that.
No. Just do you remember, it was so weird that at one point, you remember Janine was staying there, Garofalo, and she came
Janine
over and
Garofalo.
She was making bracelets, and she was there, and we weren't even talking. Eventually, she's like, well, I'm going to leave. You guys aren't even talking. Because we were all like,
no,
go get the thing.
We were in a hotel. Yeah. We went down to dinner, Will, and she told us she was there, and we said we had no recollection she was there. We said that we didn't know she was in, and then she told us she was making bracelets with beads.
But Johnny, now, John, so you're down. Go ahead, Sean.
No, you go.
I was going to talk about what's going on down there in Australia. Tell me, what's your average day now down there? As sort of a planned dad, you're bringing the girls to the set to coordinate with lunchtime, or?
Well, the girls are in school here. We always throw the girls in school immediately.
How long are you there
wherever
for?
We set up. I'm here for another 8 weeks, and then I'm editing a little bit, but then I go back to New York to edit. But the girls will stay here, I think, for 10 weeks, and then Emily's here for 12 more weeks.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Wow. Yeah,
I've never been here, by the way. Have you, Will, yeah. You've been here. Drew Form just told me that you guys flew together.
Yeah, I've been there twice with Drew. And yeah. And not only that, I don't look around, but I actually, I'm like Mr. Australia. I just did it with Rose Byrne. I just did a big campaign for Tourism Australia. So I'm yeah. kind of like representing. Yes.
Yes, I've seen it now. Is it out yet?
Is that crazy? It's awesome.
Yeah. Boy, what?
So,
that's incredible.
How many pages down on the list do you think they were? I mean, why would they go? What?
Oh my God.
What about Will you know Arnett just Will screams, Arnett. Oh, fuck, we got to get Will Arnett to sell Australia to the world?
When I think of the Outback.
You know what's funny about
I mean,
that?
I get
you know,
Rose Byrne at least as Australian.
Go ahead, Kraz. Yeah, you know what's
Will,
funny about that?
Do you
too?
Remember when we were at Margarita Mix? Mm-hmm. I've only had one voice campaign in my life because they heard what I had and they said thanks anyway.
It's a voiceover studio here in town. Yeah.
It was for insurance.
I thank you. Yeah, click or call. Anyway, but
it was a
but
goodie.
I was in the booth. I was in the booth doing the script, and in walks Will, and he's like, "Kraz, what's going on?" And they were like, "Will, the guys in Chicago were like, Will, is that you?" He gets on the mic. And he's like, "Hey, who is it?" And they were like, "It's Andy and Dave." And he was like, "Andy, Dave, what's going on?" And you could hear these dudes going, "You think he might take a pass?" Right. And I went, "Hey, man, get out of the booth. Oh. This is all I've got right now."
Will, give us a clicker call right now.
I'm such a clicker call, insurance.
Oh, no.
Man, they can't afford
God, they're
going
to revive it.
They can't afford it.
Hang on
it.
A second.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Is this going to wreck the audio, the beeping of the Brinks truck?
This guy.
Hey, do you mind if I give it a go once?
Yeah, let's hear it, Shawnee.
Okay. What's the line?
Clicker call.
Clicker call. Okay, ready?
Yep.
Clicker call. E-insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just e-insurance. But
e-insurance.
It's just e-insurance.
But it's crazy because I remember, Will, you said into the microphone, "Do you guys need it truckier?" And I was like, "Come on, man.
Truckier.
Come on."
Kraz, one of my favorite. We have so many memories. I mean, we fuck, man. Holy shit. How much time have we spent over the years? And I was thinking about one time. I don't even know how long ago this was, but we were down at, do you remember this? We were at the Grey Dog, the one on Carmine Street in New York.
Oh, yeah.
We were having coffee. And it was like a, I don't know, it was like a Wednesday morning or something. You know where I'm going with this. And we're sitting there and people were walking by and we're like, "Look at this guy." We had the comments for everybody. We're like, "Look at this freaking loser. Hey, nice fucking jeans." Hey, but like just to each other, make each other laugh. Yeah. And then we're kind of quiet for a second and we just go, "God, Bateman would love this."
Just tossing shit
bombs. By the way,
bombs.
I think the biggest regret of leaving, definitely the biggest regret of leaving LA was leaving you guys. And Emily said that the thing she'll miss most is seeing the three of us in a corner just doing bits, just completely isolated from the rest of the group, just doing, serving up bits and
entertaining to only us three. Just pathetic and obnoxious.
Oh, God.
We'll be right back.
We get support from Happy Egg. I love starting my morning off with farm-fresh eggs full of flavor. At Happy Egg, all of their hens roam on 8 or more acres of land, leaving no mystery to why their eggs are the best. These hens are raised on 8+ acres. I gotta keep it down, because if my hens find out, they don't have 8+ acres. My hens only have like 3/4 of an acre. And, they're going to go on strike. Anyway, all of their hens are cared for by small family farmers and live their best hen lives day in and day out. All of this results in eggs with plump orange yolks that are full of flavor. I just, as I mentioned, I like to kick off my morning with farm fresh eggs. The difference is so glaring between an egg from Happy Egg and an egg that just came from clearly some kind of like sad factory. And you just have to taste it for yourself. If you're a fan of eggs, which I am, do yourself this favor and try Happy Egg eggs. You will not be disappointed. You will notice the difference immediately. Get with the Happy Eggs. They're so good. Next time you're at the store, look for the yellow carton. Choose Happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com/smartless to find a store near you. And if you come by the house, don't mention it to my aunts. We get support from Canva. When your work, presentations, and docs look good, you look good. And you can design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva. Canva is an easy-to-use online design platform. It helps people design compelling visual content and is great for designing any type of presentation and great for any teammate. So our team at Smartless is using Canva when they're coming up with different design concepts for various things with related to Smartless and Smartless Media, because we have a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy crew, okay? And if it wasn't for Canva, they'd all be fired. Supercharge your work with AI-powered Canva presentations, docs, videos, and more. In just a few seconds, you can generate slides and text from a prompt. AI is built into Canva right where you work, so you can stay on task without any app switching. It's AI that's easy to learn and even easier to use. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work. Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream, My Mochi Ice Cream, and I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi Ice Cream is? Picture this. It's a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi Ice Cream is sweet, it's chewy, it's cool, it's creamy, all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh, I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it, first of all. An absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to mymochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today.
And now back to the show.
Johnny, I actually have a real question for you.
Okay.
Which is...
I'll bet you don't.
You know, when, first of all, is...
theater stories.
Believe me, if you have any, I'm all ears. They're the best stories.
Hey, John, what's the craziest... I can't even get it out. Go ahead.
By the way, you guys make fun of me asking people for theater stories, and they always end up being hilarious.
They always have.
It's true. And I find from people who listen to the show that they fucking love them too. So
and actually, John is a legitimate theater guy. Yeah. So,
there you go.
Awful, horrible stories. No, okay, great. So, but I really have a real.
I got it written down right here, Sean. I'll get to him at the end. Yeah, only did one play. It was all a nightmare. So
no,
yeah,
for real.
But you wrote, didn't you study playwriting at Brown?
Playwriting, yeah, not play performing. That was I did a couple plays at school, but no, I basically went to a theater school after I graduated. I was a mid year at Brown, so everybody graduated in May. I still had a semester,
and that's what, just for home births. You just help with home birth? I'm thinking of something else for sure. I'm definitely thinking of something else.
I knew there was something there. Are there any funny theater writing stories? I'd love to hear a theater writing story funny thing.
No, that's just... That was all just torturous.
Well, because you're alone in a room writing. What's funny about that?
There he is. He knows it.
Yeah. Okay, so wait. But I have a question. So A Quiet Place, was that your first directing gig or no? I'm an idiot.
It wasn't. No, Will was in my directorial debut.
That's right.
Which was what?
Will was in it. It was an adaptation of a David Foster Wallace book called Brief Interviews with Hideous Men, and Will was in it.
Probably starring in
one of the hideous yeah, one of the hideous
probably
men.
Probably headlining, name above title, and
no, he was so nice to jump in. He came in and did this small part. It was amazing. It was amazing.
So my serious question is dumb, which is what made you go from being an actor to wanting to be a director? Was there a person, a moment or something where you on the set of The Office and go, like, well, I kind of want to do this. Like, this is, I'm more interested in how it's made than being in it.
I think there was something happening in the back of my head, but I'd never thought I'd have the confidence to direct. And I was actually sitting at a burrito place. What's it called in L.A.?
Chipotle.
Sharky's. Sharky's.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sharky's.
Sure. Sharky's, yeah. I was sitting with Mr. Rainn Wilson, and he saw that I was a bit perplexed. And he said, what's going on? I said, oh, I'm trying to get somebody to direct this movie I wrote called Brief Interviews with Hideous Men. He goes, why don't you do it? And my brain shut off, and I went, what are you talking about? And he was like, you should just do it. And so I did. And that was he encouraged me to
isn't that wild?
To direct it. And then in between then, the people at The Office heard that I was going to direct a film. So they said, why don't you direct a couple episodes to get your feet wet? And The Office was my entire film school. Everything I could ever dream of, I got in the purest form on that show from, I mean, the unbelievable writer's room that we had to these unbelievable editors.
And you were a writer before even an actor, before even a director? Were you a writer first?
Sort of. I was an English major in college, and in my senior year, I took a course which I got into the honors playwright program. And so
what college?
Brown University in Providence, Brown, Rhode Island.
Okay, great. Got it. Yeah. I've heard
of it. Okay, Sean.
Yep. Okay, Sean.
I'm done. Okay. We can wrap it up if you want.
Third degree over here, like he's a criminal. Is he on trial? What's going on? Why is Kraz being persecuted right now?
But by the way, Kraz, it just feels so good to be called Kraz again. Nobody has called me Kraz.
Does nobody else call you Kraz? No.
Nobody.
God, all my phones throughout the years, it's all Kraz on my thing, and so like I'm just like so when your name anytime it comes up,
you know how you come up on my phone. You know how you come up.
No, wait. Keep it clean.
Kerry Russell's. The what? Popped eye in Mission Impossible 3.
That's right. By the way, oh my God.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
John, tell them why.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Will and I were obsessed with Mission Impossible.
Of course.
Bourne, all that stuff. We would literally go sit front row. I mean, before any other humans were in the theater, we were there and we were prepared for all the movies. And we saw them. And when we saw Mission Impossible 3 and Kerry Russell has a bomb go off in her head and her eye twisted, we hit each other and laughed so hard. I mean, just shaking each other. And I made it the picture so that when Will calls, it's this. It's just this.
And by the way, he'll do it to me sometimes. He'll just like, if we'll be outside and people are talking, he'll turn to me and just go, like, do the, I think, and the other thing we do to each other, I think I mentioned this to JJ when he was on the show, Abrams, the little brown dot that they never explained that they just put on the arm. And when they, like, in the movie, at some point, the guy just walks up and just goes, puts this brown dot on, the person just slumps. And we're like, what is the brown dot?
It's the deadly freckle.
It's a poison dart. Yeah, and also Billy Crudup's character mouths to Tom. He goes,
yeah.
And they have a conversation just mouthing.
Right.
But Will, do you remember we were at a party and JJ had just directed The Office? Yes. And he goes, I can't believe I remember this. And I'm so embarrassed to say this story. JJ goes, hey, man, you want to meet Tom Cruise? And I went, what? And I was like 24, 25 or something. And he's like, come on over. And I go up and Tom's coming down the stairs with like four bodyguards. And I don't know how, Will's watching me, and I don't know how I had the guts to do this. I went up and pretended to put a brown dot on his wrist.
Oh, God.
A poison dart on his wrist. And the four bodyguards moved on me and were going to kill me before I started mouthing to Tom. And he went, and he started laughing and gave me like a hug and was like, this guy's okay. But for a second, they thought I was going to murder him.
That's awesome.
Because he geeked out. We used to go down to my old apartment on the West Side in New York, and we used to go watch movies downtown, and then we'd see, like, we saw all those movies down though in those theaters. And we saw the Mission Impossible and all the Bourne movies. And then do you remember we'd like run up and we'd be all gacked out on like M&Ms and popcorn or whatever. And we'd run up the West Side Highway, just fucking like kids who were so stoked, running as if we're like this, like we'd run like Tom Cruise. By the way, I'm in my like mid to late 30s.
Oh my God.
You know, mid to late 20s.
We used to yell, take the shot, withholding our ears.
I love that.
To people on the street.
And then we found out Frank Marshall, our buddy, was one of the producers, oh, and we God, made him tell us stories. We apprehended him, and then he ended up sending us rap gifts from the latest Bourne movie. Remember?
He sent one. He sent a metal case with like T-shirts and stuff to my house. And Will was so funny because I went, look, what do you got? And he goes, but I didn't get one. And I was like, no, I know. And he goes, so what do we do? We had to split up. We had to split up stuff.
Did you get invited to Conan's Christmas party, John?
Ask him, did you get invited to Conan's Christmas party?
I bet you $1 million you did. No?
No.
How about Emily?
Conan O'Brien?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
No, I didn't. And now I'm really sad. I'm really sad
about
that.
He knows that they live in New York. And by the way, Kraz used to work at Conan when he was
And he does. You live in LA.
He was an intern there.
I was his intern, yeah.
For real?
It was his script intern. Yeah, so my job, all the other interns, I got the writing script intern. And the greatest part of the job, I couldn't believe it, was everybody gave him hair and makeup and all the producers are telling him all these notes of the guests and stuff. And then they all would clear out for 30 seconds as Max Weinberg would hit the drums. And I would have 30 seconds alone with Conan where he rehearsed the monologue just to me.
Oh,
and
wow.
I would cry laughing every single day. And at the end of the summer, what was my favorite joke? He's like, yeah, you think these jokes are funny? And I said, yeah. And he goes, really? I thought kids your age just went home, smoked weed, and listened to Pearl Jam. That's what he said. And I was like, well, you're not far off. But then at the end, he brought me into his office. The last day, we were all leaving. He brought me into his office, gave me a Sam Adams, said, I know you're from Boston. Here's a Sam Adams. I just wanted to say thank you for laughing every night. You have no idea what it means to have laughter be the last thing you see before you go on stage. And I cried.
Oh,
I mean,
he's
you
the
know
greatest.
Will. I burst into tears.
Of course you did.
Conan is the
I'm
greatest.
Bursting into tears hearing this.
Wait, that's
And by the way,
old?
Later, he was my first talk show. So the first talk show I ever did was Conan.
Wow.
So when I went back to do Conan, it was, again, I cried. But I was walking through the hallways and all these people I used to work for were like, hey, this is great. We love The Office. We're so proud of you. And I was like, it was so intense. And then the guy pulling the curtain was the nicest guy ever. And he was like, we're all so proud of you. Go out there and have a great time. And I blacked out. Literally don't remember anything until I was standing in the seat and Conan was already shaking my hand and he saw that I was having a panic attack. And he was like, don't worry, buddy, it's going to be great, and pushed me into the chair. And that's how I...
Wow.
And cut to Kimmel says repeatedly that you and Arnett are two of the best, if not the best, talk show guests in the history of showbiz.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I think it's just I'm so happy to be humiliated for Kimmel anytime he wants. I think the lowest was I dressed as a shrimp for something. And I don't know what it was, but I was a shrimp. I dressed as a shrimp.
On his show?
Yeah. I was in a skin-tight Spider-Man outfit once, out in the Hollywood, out on the out in front of the Man's Chinese.
On Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
I remember
he
that.
He loved, well, you guys, I mean, those are pretty heady days, especially back then when you moved up there and you and Kimmel lived directly across the street from each other for a number of years. That was some fun times.
Oh my God, the absolute best. Honestly, it's the thing we miss most about LA. It was the hardest decision because leaving those guys, leaving you guys was really, really hard.
Yeah. Now, speaking of traveling around and stuff, it's got to be so tough that you and Emily being as busy as two people could ever be. I mean, if you wanted to be working nonstop, you both could be, but you seem to both decide not to be working at the same time as much as you can avoid it so that you can be with the kids and play mom or dad on the other person's set. You just kind of take turns. Is that right?
Yeah, we do the best we can to take turns. It's been... it was going pretty well until COVID because that just pushed everything back. So we had this whole plan. She was going to do this amazing show that just came out, The English. It's one of the best things I've seen in a long, long time if you haven't seen it. And she shot that in Spain. And I was doing Jack Ryan for 2 years straight because we shot two seasons back to back. And
which is also incredible. I mean, that's got to be such a difficult shoot.
No kidding.
Jesus, God, that's a lot.
Yeah, exhausting.
It was crazy. I mean, definitely shooting. I think we were the second production back after COVID. I think it was Mission Impossible and us. Wow. And so, you know, you have 350 people showing up very courageously to work and saying, we're going to get back to work. And we were in 9 countries in season 3. During COVID and all that travel. And then season 4, God. I think we were in 5 more countries. And so it was nuts. I mean, it's so much fun. And I have such a great time playing the role. But yeah, I mean, shooting that is a whole different thing from being behind a desk for 10 years.
I mean, don't you miss that? A nice, predictable, air-conditioned sitcom on a stage in Burbank?
Oh, yeah. Just LED lights. Nothing changes.
Yeah.
Granddad, fucking cool your slippers for a second. Yeah. We're talking to people who are out in the world.
Craft service table over there. Get you a dressing room in the stage.
Like you, got, parking like spot. You go to craft service. Unless they've served cardboard and almonds, you're not going there. Hey, Krazy, it was such a departure, though, for you, truly, actually, kind of on what Jason was saying. Like, you... First of all, I got to say, one of the great things about spending, you know, the last couple of years about being at home a lot and whatever, one of the good things was catching up on a lot of things. And there were so many big pockets of The Office that I didn't see at the time. And I talked about it with Carell when we had him on. I never fully appreciated, and I watched it with my kids. My older kids, Archie and Abel, just wanted to watch. That's all they wanted to watch. All of it. Every single episode. We watched all the way through. And I feel like I never really got a chance to say back then when you were doing it, and we talked a lot at that time, you know, when you were doing the show, we spent so much time together. I never got a chance to say how fucking great you were on that show, how funny, man. How in the zone you were, how
for sure.
Dialed in you were, man. Honestly, it was, it's really, really, really good. And it lives
that
forever.
Is so nice.
Super
Thank
small and
that.
Subtle too. Like, and that was like what, you hadn't done a ton of shit before that, right?
No, I was a waiter.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell us how you got it.
Yeah.
That coming from you guys, that means so much to me. Really, it really does. And
I don't think Sean really agreed.
No, I just said it should, Kim. Should mean a lot. Yeah. John, tell me how you got the part for people that don't know like me. Like, what was that like? Was it offered? Did you have to read for it?
I love this.
Oh, yeah, I definitely had to read for it.
Oh, really? I thought you were saying my question.
No.
No, I really was waiting tables. I hadn't done hardly anything, and I had done a couple commercials, and I got a
Jason,
manager.
You played a waiter once, right? Sorry.
Paid a waiter once. Had you seen The British Office before you read for it?
Oh, yeah. I was a huge fan of that. And so I'm waiting tables. I'm watching the black DVD of The Office when it came to America. I remember it came in that black case. Yeah. It was amazing. Went to a record store and picked it up. No, so I was such a huge fan of that. And they called, I'll never forget actually, they called and said, would you ever come in to read for this show? And I said, great. And I had actually been out in LA testing for things that I didn't get. And I met Allison Jones, who-
The great Allison Jones.
Cast your show, Arrested. And cast our show. And she said, it's so nice to meet you. I have something coming called The Office. Look out for it. And I said, okay, great. And they called me and they said, will you come in for the part of Dwight? And I remember,
and you're like, I'm waiting tables. Yeah, I'm coming in.
No, I said no. I literally knew the show so well. I said, and my manager he thought I was insane. And I said, if I'm gonna do it, I want to put my best foot forward. And he said, you know, they're not very happy about this. They might not call again. And I said, I would just rather not ruin my chance by doing that role. And then like 6 weeks later, they called and they said, can you come in for the role of Jim? And I said, sure. So I read for that, and then I remember I tested in New York first at 30 Rock. I was terrified. I was literally shaking. And there were 7 dudes that looked exactly like me, like all Jims just sitting on a bench. And each one after one went in and auditioned and probably had a great time, heard tons of laughter.
Sure.
The worst. And then it was just me. It was just me waiting. And the casting director came out and goes, so we're just going to take a quick lunch for an hour. So we'll come. We'll get to you when we're back. And I said, just one more. One more. No?
The waiting is so nerve-wracking.
So everybody leaves. Everybody came back with whatever the Sweet Greens was back then. And I watched everybody come in and out, like hundreds of people. And then this guy sat across from me and he said, are you nervous? And I said, no, you either get these things or you don't. But what I'm really nervous for is whoever is making this show, because it is such a perfect show. And Americans have a way of just ruining every good show that comes out of the UK. And he goes, well, I'm Greg Daniels. I'll sure as hell try not to do that.
And I went, God.
And Greg Daniels created The American Office for people who don't know.
Created the show.
Oh,
yeah, he
my
was.
God.
The good news is he claims that it was one of the reasons I got the part, because when I walked into the room, not out, they
were
laughing.
It's a real Jim thing to say, by the way.
That's what I'm talking
about. Perfect.
No, when I walked in, everyone was laughing, and it wasn't laughing with you. It was laughing at, just pointing and laughing at how stupid I was.
Oh, my God.
And when I did it, Greg said, you got the part because honesty is the best policy, and I remember that. I remember that, and I was like, sure, man. Oh, great. That
did they give
great.
It to you in the room? No.
No, I then went to L.A. and tested. I remember I flew with Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk.
Mm-hmm.
They were both testing for Michael Scott. And I remember they split up the New York kids and the L.A. kids. And so the New York kids went first and everybody left. And I was the last person in the New York group. And I didn't know what to do. And all these L.A. kids were going in and they were testing. And I'd been there probably 5 or 6 hours. And I finally just said, oh, my God, they forgot to send me home.
Oh, buddy.
So I walked onto the set. The producers, they actually shot on the set of the show. They had already built a version of the set.
Up in the valley there.
Yeah, it was. Well, we moved to Chandler Valley. We started in Culver City. There was like a Culver City thing.
Wow.
Yeah. But I went up and I said, I think you forgot to send me home. I'm going to leave now. And from behind like a wall, you heard somebody go, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Give us 30 more minutes. And I said, okay. God. And in walked this girl. And I literally took one look at this girl and I said, that's the person who gets the part. If I could ever read with her, I'd have one shot at this show. And it was Jenna Fischer. I knew she was going to get the role as soon as she walked in the room.
Wow.
And then they said, we just want you to read with one other person. And I said, who? And they were like, Jenna Fischer. And I went, yes! Because I thought if I at least get to read with her, I'll have a shot.
That's
and
great.
We read together. And I remember it was, as we walked out, I turned to her and I said to her, you're going to get this part. And she goes, oh my God, I thought you would get this part. And it's very sweet when we both got the part, as we both tell the story, it's true. The first thing I did was jump on my couch and scream. And then the second thing I said was, who's playing Pam? And they said, this girl named Jenna Fischer. And I said, yes.
Wow.
Isn't that great? Because I knew we could do
something. What a story. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And we will be right back.
Hey, Smartless listener. We get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus. And we went to Austria. And it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places. And I know, total nerdville. But it was pretty cool. And I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing. So maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you are interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at ChallengersMovie.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartlist. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you, like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.
And now back to the show.
Willie, you have a similar experience with when you read for Arrested, right? You remember that when you left?
Yeah.
When we walked out?
We walked. Well, I actually, it involves rain.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, and I flew out to LA as well, and I was super sick. And I gave one of those auditions in New York. When I read for it, I was like, oh, whatever. I just kind of did it. And then they called and they go like, you got to come out to LA, but you have to sign your test deal before you go. And Prince Bado kept calling me, going, my manager,
Peter.
And I go, oh, Peter. Yeah, and they kept going, I know, sweet Pete. And they go, You got to sign your thing. And he's like, they keep calling. And I go, hey, man, if they're so excited about me calling, why don't you renegotiate? Because they obviously want me to do it. So I said that at first, and I was kind of joking. But I fly out. It's me and Tony Hale. And Tony and I go out, and I read for – I was there all weekend, and we worked with the Russo brothers, who are now of, you know, Marvel fame. And then and with Mitch Hurwitz, whom I just spoke to about an hour ago, and they go – you got to go in and read. It was me and Rainn Wilson and, God, who is the other? Do you remember?
French Stewart?
No, he had already done it. But somebody else, they had a bunch of, like, good guys and guys who had been working.
But Rainn was still, you went in before Rainn.
So, yeah, but a bunch of guys, yeah. Rainn had already done 6 Feet Under. Like, he had a real career going, and I was a fucking zero. And so we go in and I read, and I come back out, and then the other guy came out, and then Mitch followed him out, and he goes, you got the part. And I look over and I see Rainn still in the waiting room right there.
Still running his sides.
And I've still been practicing. That guy. That's why, John, when you're talking about being in waiting and then going to lunch or whatever, it's such a vulnerable position when you go out and you're putting it all out of the line and you want it. And I see him there, and I've been in that position so many times. And I just went to Mitch. I went, oh, God, no, please. And I go, please, shh, please. That guy's, Rainn Wilson is right over
there. Hasn't even read yet.
Hasn't even read. They didn't even.
You were like, sorry, did my manager get to you about the renegotiation? Is it more?
did you talk to Peter Principato? Yeah. Did you?
Everybody followed out of the room, walked right past Rainn. They were done. But the good news is, about a month later, he reads for the office.
It was like a year later he reads for the office.
And yeah. Would have been unavailable.
Just so you know, I personally believe that Arrested is, I think, my favorite show. I think it's my favorite show.
That's so
no, it's
stop,
true.
Stop,
I remember.
Sean.
No, I remember.
Sean's never seen it.
Yeah, I know. I know, Sean. You've seen two, Sean. You said you saw two episodes.
Yeah, yeah. It's fantastic. Best show I've ever seen.
Those were great ones. Yeah. No, but I remember when that show came on. It was such a big deal because The Office had come out, the British one, and that level of comedy was untouched. And then you guys came out with this whole other lane that was so good. And I just remember thinking, if I could be on a show that good, that has the confidence to... My favorite thing was how you guys brought jokes back at the end of an episode that you had barely touched on at the beginning.
Well, you guys were that good, if not better, and people were actually watching your show. It stayed on for 10 years.
You guys were a big hit. And you know what's weird? I just mentioned Janine Garofalo. She had sent Amy these... She had these tapes of The Office that she brought her before... Like right around the time they were about to start airing them on BBC America when Jason and I started watching, and I'd seen these tapes, and I was like, holy fuck, we'd already done the pilot, But I was talking to Jeff. I was like, this show is fucking, and it seemed like one. And then we started watching all these episodes and we were obsessed with it.
We were studying it.
And then it was like, I remember them saying at the time, actually, we thought that we were going to maybe get canceled Arrested Development the entire time we were on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
yeah, us too.
Week to week.
Us too.
And in
the first 2 years.
And we had been on the air for 6 months or something, and they were starting to put together The Office. And Peter Principato, my manager, said, hey, Allison Jones wants to know if Arrested falls apart, would you ever consider going in for The Office? I don't know if I ever told you that.
For Jim.
For the part of Jim and Pam.
Oh my God.
They were going to make them into one character.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Just to save a little money, just a wig away.
And they're going to call them Jam. Yeah. They're going to call them Jam.
God, that makes sense.
Well, there goes my spinoff.
There's a lot.
And I said, yeah, anyway, we made that pilot. Jam.
Wow.
Yeah, we made
that
pilot.
That's why they won't do a reunion, because my idea was Jam and they had already done it.
Hey, John, I have another.
We'll be right back after this.
Yeah, I have another question coming right back from the Arrested Development Rewatch podcast.
Get us back on track, Sean.
I want to know, of all the stuff that you're doing, because you are so now prolific as a director and everybody is celebrating you in that way, and rightfully so, because you just are
so nice. Thank you,
incredible. Do you have a goal of a film or a type of film that you really want to conquer that you haven't conquered yet, either like a genre or a specific story? Anything
meanwhile,
in particular?
Sean's head right now is going, please say musical, please say musical,
comedy. You know, the truth is, I like I said, I never knew that I would have the opportunity to be a director. So
right.
I said,
I'm just saying, just listen to the question now that you are.
Okay. Copy.
Fuck me.
Sorry. Let me just redo that. Sorry. Let me throw this tissue away. No more tears.
I think you should remake The Producers and put Sean in there as Gene Wilder. And I'll play Zero Mostel.
There you go.
Be on the show.
By the way, Sean, I can't wait to see Goodnight Oscar. Can't wait.
Oh,
April,
that's
right?
So sweet. Thank you.
I can't
April.
Wait.
Yeah. Look, he knows it's April. Look at this.
Yeah. We'll all go amazing. Together.
At the Barbaresco Theater. What is it? The Belasco.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Vinnie Barbarino.
The Vinnie Barbarino the theater. Theater.
Has any show received more consistent press on a lean-in than this fucking than Goodnight Oscar?
This thing
Oscar?
Better open. Let me tell you
something.
It
better be fucking good now.
You shit the bed during previews. It's
no, so no specific, like, oh my God, I have this in my back pocket. I don't care if it takes 20 years to make. I have this passionate story I want to tell. Anything
no,
like
the
that?
Way the way it goes for me is I fall in love with something, an idea that, and I just do exactly that. So this idea that I had for Imaginary Friends, I never thought I would do sort of a, you know, a comparable movie would be like E.T. or something like that.
Yeah,
and I never thought I'd do something like that. Certainly never thought I'd do genre at all. Didn't think I could never watch horror movies, ever. I was so scared to watch horror movies. And so when I directed
Wait, John,
a horror movie, that
John,
was
remember,
terrifying.
Remember when we went to see I Am Legend, you and
Oh
Amy.
My God. And The Dark Knight came on. Oh my God.
Oh no.
What happened?
Poor John.
We just kept doing it over and over and over. Because that guy was the star of the show. That guy. No, but Will, do you remember we sat in this IMAX and all of a sudden Will and I, again, were in this tear of just, you know, big action movies.
You guys just burning afternoons? Is that what it was?
I mean,
just trying to get to dinner somehow?
Oh my God. No, but Will, do you remember they played the first 10 minutes of The Dark Knight?
I was about to say that.
And we went, oh my God, we've heard about this where they like switch a movie to test the audience. We're a test audience. And then it stopped after 10 minutes.
Yes.
And it went.
I don't remember.
That's
that was
crazy.
Fucking crazy.
What do you mean
remember
they stopped
that?
The movie after 10 minutes? They stopped
they
the
They literally
actual...
showed the opening of The Dark Knight. The whole thing is like a special thing tied to I Am Legend.
That's weird.
But it didn't even say like this preview. It just started.
Nothing.
Oh, that's
just
wow.
started.
So
we
weird.
Were like, oh my God, we're in a
and
test.
Like,
we're in a test.
At first, we didn't even know it was Dark Knight because you don't know it. And we're like, what the fuck is going on? And then we're like, holy shit, they're going to show the fucking movie.
And then the anyway. Joker came on screen and we were like, oh my God.
It was
and
wild.
And then,
and we would do that for fucking months to each other out of the blue. Just,
that's, I like that.
I remember Amy hating it, Will. Do you remember?
Hated.
She'd go, guys, stop.
Oh, she
stuck. And we were like,
She hated it so much.
You starting to sniff out any talent there with the 8 and the 6 year old? They want to act or direct or sing or anything like that, like mom and dad?
They went through phases of it, but I don't think either of them right now are wanting to do it.
Would you let them if they said they wanted?
I don't think they know that I'm an actor, so they think I'm an accountant.
Are they? Do you think they're going to be tall?
Oh yeah, Hazel's very tall. Violet's not so tall, but yeah, Hazel's very tall. Just all
you know,
legs.
John's family, his parents are both really tall. His brothers are
I'm the shortest.
He's the shortest of his family. Wow. He's 6'4". Everybody is huge. If you ever want to, like, anytime I spend time around John's family, I'm always like, fuck, man, I feel short. And I usually feel tall, especially around you two idiots. I feel like really a person of substance. And then, because tall people are better. And so then, and I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback on that, but John, as it turns out, was at the time for many years. John, what's the stat about your birth weight?
Oh, I was the biggest baby in Boston, I think, I was 11 pounds, 12 ounces.
Good God, that's three children.
Yeah, it was three children.
And you were the last one.
Yeah, I was the last one. I'll never forget this story. Will loves this story. My mom went to a doctor's appointment and was with a doctor, and a nurse walked by, a gentleman walked by, and literally looked like he was in a horror movie. And he said to my mom, he goes, "I was there." And she goes, "Excuse me?" And he goes, "I was there when you gave birth to that baby." And my mom goes, "Well, I have three kids." And he went, "No, the big one." Oh. But this guy was scarred for life. Yeah.
And then he went, That's fucking good. I love that story. Can't get
that's
over how
really
crazy
funny.
Yeah, I probably wasn't the biggest baby in Boston. I was probably the biggest baby at that hospital for a while, but yeah.
That's really funny.
I was
that
there.
Baby. I was there. He was like sliding in, shuffling like a zombie.
Jesus.
Crazy. Fuck, it's so great to see you, dude. Thank you for coming and doing this, man.
This was so awesome. Thank you,
miss
guys.
You,
this
miss you, man. Miss you so much.
When's the in-person stuff again? How long? So you're there for another 8 weeks. Then you're going to be in New York.
And then I'll be in New York indefinitely.
You know what that'll time out to? It'll time out to carpooling to Sean Hayes' Broadway show playing at which
the
theater?
Belasco.
The Belasco.
The Belasco.
By the way, if you guys come for opening night, let's all go together.
Let's all go together.
Let's all go.
Done.
Let's all go together.
I can't wait.
I would love that.
I can't. That'll be really fun.
And honestly, Sean, congratulations. That's amazing.
Thanks, pal. Thanks.
All
thanks.
The great reviews
about,
and everything.
It's been about
congrats.
15 years in the making.
Wow.
The reviews are off the chart. And this is going to take everybody. It's going to be a smash hit. Obviously.
Well, thank you. Okay, but anyway, Johnny, it's so good to see you. I haven't seen you in so long. Please, let's get together when you come back.
Yeah,
I would love it. And thank you, guys. This was wonderful to hang out again. It's been too long. Miss you, guys.
John, love you, buddy.
Miss you too. Love you, man.
Have fun down under. Hey.
All right, guys.
Gasoline.
Bye, Johnny.
Aluminium.
Oh, nice.
He knows how to slam it.
He knew he couldn't wait
he
to
knew
slam
he's
it.
He's a listener.
He couldn't wait to slam it. That's such a. He's a true listener. I mean, he is a listener, as you know. He's.
Yeah,
texted
wow.
us. Jason, he's texted you too how much he likes listening to the show. And I tried to put it together for a while. I obviously knew he was coming on for a while, and we were just trying to time it out for a couple months.
That was a good surprise. Wait, he was really supposed to go on the day of or after Emily?
I'm pretty sure it was the day after or 2 days after.
Wow, that would have been wild.
And that's why you guys were after we had Emily on the show after the record, and when she left the show, we were talking about it, and you guys were, "We got to get John on." And I was like, "Jesus fucking Christ, I know." And I kept going, I know.
And you knew it. You knew
and
it the
I
whole
knew
time.
It back then, the whole
what a great
it's
guy.
It really sucks he doesn't live in L.A. anymore.
I
what
know
is
it does
the problem?
Suck.
God
it
damn
changed
it.
Everything.
Well, why don't we just move to New York?
I know.
He lives in New York, though, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, we've talked about the three of us about and fantasize about all of us just living there.
Let's live in New York
full time again. I know I used to live there for over 20 years.
I know. Do you miss it, Will?
I do. I didn't when I first sold my apartment was like coming up on 6 years ago, and I was like, no, I'm just like so LA, and now I really miss it. I do. Yeah. It's hard to
what about even just for friendships? Like it'd be like, cause guys are terrible about maintaining friendships, right? Well, I'll speak for myself. I just feel like, Well, we'll just pick it up right where we left off and for the most part that's true. But yeah. I mean, maybe in our last third, half, quarter of our lives, we'll just throw it all away and just do friendships. No career. We'll do that with the retirement.
For sure.
Yeah, but that's one of the great things about when you are in New York. And you know, obviously, Kras and I talked so much back then in the day. We would burn afternoons and go to see movies and stuff. But when you're in New York, you kind of do that more than we do in L.A. We're so sequestered.
We walk everywhere.
In Los Angeles. And the three of us, obviously, because the weekends we spend time together and whatever, and Jason, we play golf. Like, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't see each other.
Right.
You know, it's funny. It reminds me of, you know, you guys know Mike O'Malley.
Love him.
You're friends with him and my old friend. And I remember him once saying, like, when you, people getting mad, like, that you don't hang out anymore. And he used to always say, yeah, life happens. And then when you see each other, you pick back up and you That's don't right. go like, hey, why don't we hang out? You don't get into that shit. You just go, hey, I love you. And like, here we go. Yes, and you pick it back up.
Yeah. But here's the thing, like a marriage, friendships are also work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so true. You have to put the effort in order to receive it back. So I think if you think of it that way, that's how I think of it.
Yeah.
You think of our friendship as a lot of work.
It's too much.
Good to know. Good to know.
I feel like you guys are staring at my box here on the Zoom.
Well, we were when you were flossing your teeth.
Hi.
Hey, girl. But Johnny, we love him.
We do love him, and it was great. And I'm so happy that we've now had... I was thinking also, two of our friends, but certainly two guys that I used to spend, you know, a lot of time with and still do in various, you know, because we were just saying life kind of happens. But two guys who at different times in my life I've considered to be, it almost sounds patronizing to say little brothers, it's just because they're younger than me. Kras and Bradley have gone on to become these great directors.
Yeah. And so is this other guy we're looking at, Jason Bateman. Mm-hmm.
And so is Jay, but
also younger than you.
Please.
Looking. Sorry. Let me finish.
Oh, that's true.
Go ahead.
I guess that's fair. That's because you have all that dirty hair.
You know, that was great to talk to John. Very, very difficult for the interview to be over because, you know, at the end of it, you got to say bye, you know?
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
So let's just make it real this time, you know?
God, that was a very real bye.
It's hard to say bye to John.
Bye. I'm trying to make it real and also bye. So... Bye. Bye.
Give your best crying bye right now. Soft bye. Soft cry bye. Cry bye.
Bye.
Will? Or Sean, what's your best cry bye?
That was it.
Oh. Will?
Bye.
Here's mine. Ready?
Yeah.
Bye. Oh, God.
It had a little bit of vomit in it, too. Bye. So I guess they'll let us know. They'll let us know which one they want to go with. My availability is. Thank you.
You swallowed that bye.
Fuck me.
Bye.
That was a good one.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Bennett Barbaco, Michael Grant Terry, and Rob Armjarf.
Smartless.
If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Every week, guests join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time. Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? They never imagined somebody might actually try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow the Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.